It is great to be with you. My name is Rabbi Ken Brodkin. You are listening to Torah and Today. And on this podcast, you can expect weekly wisdom as we explore how the Torah guides our lives today in modern times. And it's hard to think of something as basic as the Pesach Seder. In ancient Israel, the Jewish people streamed to Jerusalem from all corners of the land for the Korban Pesach, the Passover offering. Today, the Seder is a staple for all Jews. The Seder night is when the entire Jewish people gather around the table. And yet, for a lot of people, it can be hard to know what it is that we're doing here. In the past week, a couple people asked me this. One asked, can you recommend a good Haggadah for me to prepare the Seder? Another was a woman born Jewish at the start of her path of mitzvos. Any tips she asked on how to do the Seder for my family? And they're asking the same question, how do I connect with the Pesach Seder? And that's a question that has special meaning today. Last Shabbos, East Coast time, Iran launched a rocket attack on Israel, part of Iran's genocidal attempt to wipe out the Jewish state, which really started most recently on October 7th with the Hamas attack. Iran is not looking to topple the Israeli government. As President Biden wrote this week in the Wall Street Journal, the government of Iran wants to destroy Israel forever, wiping the world's only Jewish state off the map. How do we approach the Seder in such a perilous time? There's a lot to figure out about the Seder. When we arrive to the Pesach Seder table, it can seem like a jumble of rituals. At one moment, we're talking about our ancestors in Mitzrayim and Egypt. The next moment, it's rabbis in B'nai Brak. Then we're dipping vegetables in salt water. We conclude the night with Aramaic songs about a goat that father bought for 2 zuz. To help unravel this, in today's podcast, we're going to look at 5 aspects of the Haggadah. And they're simple ideas, but together they form a basis to understand what it is that we're going to be doing on the Seder night. And the 5 ideas are, 1, Pesach is a night of mitzvot, as the Seder contains distinctly 5 mitzvot. 2, Passover is a night of Seder, as the name suggests. This is a night of Seder, of order, and order is key. 3, this is a night of our story. More than anything, retelling the story of the Exodus is central to this Seder, this order. 4, it's a night of questions, because this is not a straightforward retelling, but rather it is a night filled with questions. And 5, Pesach is a night of our people, a time of connecting with Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. Let's start with night of mitzvot. Several years ago, I traveled to Israel for Pesach. It was back in 2019. And hours after my family's trek across the globe, we found ourselves in a Jerusalem supermarket shopping for wine, Seder items with a myriad of Jews from all backgrounds, from Sephardic to secular to Anglo-Jews. Now that I live in Manalapan in central New Jersey, even here at our ShopRite, it's filled with Jews shopping for mitzvot before the Chag. The Seder is built around mitzvot, 5 to be precise. We fulfill 2 Torah obligations. Firstly, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, recounting the story of the Exodus. And this mitzvah is fulfilled through the Magid section of the Haggadah. The essence of that mitzvah is to express gratitude to God for through retelling the Exodus. Secondly, it is a Torah mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan as we relive the Exodus experience. And plus, we have 3 rabbinic mitzvot, drinking the 4 cups of wine, eating maror, and reciting hallel. How do we fulfill these mitzvot? We fulfill the mitzvah of relating the Exodus mainly through the Magid section of the Haggadah as we retell the Jewish story of Jewish history and the Exodus. We fulfill the mitzvah of matzah in the Seder by eating shmor matzah made of one of the 5 grains, wheat, oats, barley, spelt, or rye. The Seder is also built around the 4 cups of wine, one of the 3 rabbinic mitzvot. Wine is understood as a drink representing freedom, embodying freedom. We should have 4 cups of wine with 4 ounces each and drink a majority of the cup, at least. Hallel, that's the 2nd of the rabbinic mitzvot. It's verses of praise and thanks. It's featured having the meal in the middle of it. So we start Hallel, have the Shulchan Aruch, and then we finish Hallel. And finally, the third mitzvah, Maror, is eaten along with the matzah. In Temple times, was actually biblically required to eat the Maror along with the Korban Pesach, the Passover offering. But today, Maror is rabbinic. While there are five mitzvot in the course of the night, the Seder, of course, is much more complex than that. In fact, from Kadesh to Nirtza, there's fully 15 sections of the Seder. Within the sections, each of them, we have intricacies, minhagim, practices handed from one generation to the next. Take karpas. This is an ancient practice, but not one of the five mitzvot of the night. Yet we have a whole procedure as to how we wash our hands during Orchatz without a bracha. Then we take a small piece of celery, dip it into salt water, make a blessing, but no after blessing. And so there very much is a seder, an order, a complex order of actions. There's mitzvot, minhagim, eating, singing, reclining, questions at a special time and place. Seder means that there is a structure and a formula that we follow. And this is a common theme, of course, in Judaism and in mitzvot. I mean, think back to Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol had a seder of avoda, an order of many mitzvot on the day of Yom Kippur with a myriad of details. There can be a tendency in the non-Jewish world to ridicule our Jewish details, but as Jews, we appreciate that we have a spiritual path that we've received from our ancestors to worship Hashem, and all of our details, our Seder has a direction. What is the overall goal of this Seder? There's a clear progression through all of these myriad of details. In fact, the Mishnah in Pesachim states, Maschil Beginusim Asayim B'Shavach, we begin with denigration and we conclude with Hallel, verses of praise. So every detail of the Seder, from Karpas to Nirtza, is part of this path, bringing us from servitude to freedom. And this is something that Jews have experienced so many times in so many different ways. In the 1950s, Basia Barg lived with her parents in Kiev under Stalin, where they were secretly observant Jews. In secret, of course, because it was illegal to even make matzah. One Pesach, she and her mother celebrated Pesach with Basi's father in prison. Although he was eventually released, they did not know that night if they would ever see him again. And you can imagine the atmosphere. Their Seder began that night with bitter tears, but as they went through the Haggadah, they came to sing the words of Hallel with a full heart. This is a story that has been told in so many generations. Without question, the whole experience of Seder is built on the Maggid section where we retell the story of the Exodus. But here's a question. The Haggadah itself mentions that there's a mitzvah to remember the Exodus from Egypt each and every day of our lives, as we do in the Shema. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to recount the Exodus on the night of Pesach. The source for this mitzvah is a verse that states, "V'higadot levincha, you shall relate the Exodus to your son." And so if there's a mitzvah to mention the Exodus every day, what is unique about recounting the Exodus on the night of Pesach? And the Chaye Adam, a great posek from the 19th century, says that if every day we recall the Exodus, on Pesach we tell and relate the story. Likewise, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says that while we mention the Exodus each night in reading Shema, on Passover there's a unique structure and a formula with questions and with answers. So on the one hand, the Exodus is part of our daily awareness as we mention it in the Shema. But on the night of Pesach, we delve into the matter through a specific structure, an order, a Seder. Anyone who increases recounting the Exodus, as we say in the Haggadah, is praiseworthy. But if there's a structure and a formula for telling, how does the Seder guide us through this night? And the answer is that it guides us to ask questions. And questions are a very huge part of the Seder experience. The essence of the Seder is a give and take of questions and answers. In fact, the Mishnah indicates that questions are the starting point of the night. The son asks and the father answers. If there's no son, someone else asks. Given this Mishnah, we can understand the strange fact that we have things that are done on the night of Passover solely to arouse questions. Dipping vegetables in salt water, removing the Seder plate early on in the meal, distributing treats to kids to get them in the mood of questions. This whole night is all about asking questions. And so of our main ideas tonight, we saw already that Pesach is a night of mitzvot. Number one, number two, it's a night of Seder. Number three, it's a night of telling the story. And four, it is a night of asking questions. And in addition, the Haggadah itself is not straightforward. Our rabbis wrote it in a way that begs for questions. When the rabbis wrote the Haggadah, they could have easily chosen more straightforward sections from Shmos, the book of Exodus, like the sixth Aliyah of Bo, if they wanted to clearly outline the Exodus. But instead, the Haggadah took the perplexing verses of Arami Oved. These are verses from Kitavo in Devarim, Deuteronomy, and they're verses that describe a farmer thanking God for his crops, but they're complex, and they require midrash, they require study to understand their meaning. Why do we use cryptic verses to relate the Exodus on the night of Passover? And the answer is because the whole night is about asking questions. There's many cryptic parts of the Haggadah. The passage is about the 10 plagues, describing the many facets and numbers contained in each plague is a great example. Even the concluding Nirtza section is perplexing with its various songs that reference the 13 attributes of God. And so it's clear that our sages wished for us to ask questions throughout the night. The presentation of the four sons is yet another example of questions in the Seder. The passage of the four sons punctuates the idea that there's different types of people around the table. How do we define those people? They're defined, really, by the questions that they ask. The question of the wise son indicates that he values what's happening at the Seder. The confrontational question of the wicked son, Maha avoda zos lechem, what is this service unto you? It negates Pesach. And then there's the simple son, whose question does not really go beyond observable fact. And then there's the one who does not know how to ask. And so indeed, on every night of our lives, we mention the Exodus in Shema, but on the Seder, we not only recall, we relate the story, and to do so, we inquire, we investigate, we study, above all, ask questions, and that's how we engage people in the Pesach experience. And so we can now come finally to the fifth idea, and that is that the Seder is a night of our people. In fact, the Mishnah in Pesachim teaches us this explicitly. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. In each and every generation, a man is obligated to view himself as if he came out of Egypt. Shenamar v'gadat levincha b'yomahu lemor bavor zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi b'Mitzrayim. As it says, in that day you shall tell your son, because of this God has acted for me when I went out of Egypt. The verse that this Mishnah quotes is where God instructs the Jewish people about what we will tell our children in a future time. Because of this, because of these mitzvot, God acted for me, we're supposed to say. But here's a question. How can the Torah instruct us to say that God did this for me? Wasn't the Exodus a thing of a past generation many years ago? And the Maharal of Prague probes the meaning of this passage. People in each and every generation, he comments, must view themselves as if they came out of Egypt. After all, when God took us out of Egypt, he did not merely take a single generation out of Egypt. Rather, the Holy One, blessed be he, redeemed the entirety of Israel. We in every generation are part of the totality of the Jewish people. And so God redeemed us because we are a part of the Jewish people. This mind frame, that's the mind frame of the night, that we're part of the Jewish people, part of Israel. This is so important at a time like now when we're fighting for the right to live as Jews. From the first cup of wine to the last phrase of Hallel, the Seder drives us towards the fulfillment of mitzvot. In all of this, we're part of the Jewish people. And I'm sure many of you have had an experience of a Seder that was transformative in your life. Personally, I recall a Seder when I was 20 years old, a student at Brandeis University, and there was a young woman there whose father was a professor at Harvard University. He had actually been a refusenik in Moscow when he was younger, and I was invited to their home in Brookline, Massachusetts for a Pesach Seder. And let me tell you, it was an eclectic group in Brookline that night. We had students from Harvard, a traveling chassid from Haifa, elderly grandparents from Moscow, about 25 people squeezed into this home. We all spoke different languages. And as we sat there together that night, I thought, this is the Jewish people. And today, some of those very same Russian Jews are fighting for their freedom to live as Jews in the Holy Land. And this is what we keep coming back to in the Seder. We are part of a people. Just consider the four sons, a section collected from four different places in the Torah. But what is the topic of conversation with those four sons? From the wise son to the son who does not know how to ask, the conversation is about the Jewish people, of course. The wise son delves into the mitzvot. The wicked son places himself at odds with the Jewish people. What is the service unto you? His challenge is meant to disparage the avoda, the service. The Haggadah notes that in his statement, he excludes himself from the Jewish people. Because he excluded himself from the klal, he has denied a basic principle. Which tenet of faith has the wicked son denied by excluding himself from the community? The answer is that a great principle of the Haggadah is that we're part of the Jewish people. So much of the Haggadah is understood in this light. Maggid is the story of our common Jewish history, from Avraham all the way to the Exodus. Even the cryptic closing section of Nirtzah is a series of allusions to the progress of Jewish history. Tzad Gadya, for example, describes Jewish history in exile and redemption. The message is clear. When we gather around the Seder table, we proudly proclaim through the Haggadah that we are part of the Jewish people. And there's never been a time that this is more needed or appropriate. I know that I feel so proud today to be part of this great people. The Haggadah prophetically teaches us that behold, door of a door, in each and every generation, our enemies rise against us to annihilate us, and God saves us from their hand. Columnist Matti Friedman wrote last week that when the Iranians launched their missile and drone attack against Israel, it simply gives us a glimpse of reality. Iran, in its desire to destroy Israel, not only launched an attack last week, but launched the October 7th Hamas attack. The fact that Israel and its allies overcame last Saturday's attack is a reason in itself to sing hallel. And for all of us, as we gather around the Seder, we know that our hostages are missing from their place at the table. In addition, so many IDF soldiers and many others have fallen. They're missing from the Seder table this year. And so all the more so that we need to strengthen ourselves and our connection to the Jewish people. What does it mean to be Jewish? One of the things we've seen so much since October 7th is how Israel, the Jewish people, are a people of mitzvot. On October 8th, I believe that Israel proved itself to be the most resilient country on earth. Whether the mitzvah of protecting lives, saving captives, reading Torah at the front, we are a people of mitzvot. I think back to my own trip to Israel, my last trip to Israel in 2019. And on the first night of Pesach, I was jet-lagged. The Seder, I could barely stay awake. And then after the Seder, around 1 a.m., I was wide awake. I couldn't sleep. My wife and I and some of the kids took a walk around the Jerusalem neighborhoods. We saw people bustling around, going home from Seder. As we came back to the apartment around 2:30 a.m., our neighbors were loudly singing the words of benching, Birkat HaMazon, in Hebrew. And it was so joyous to listen to them. Now, these recent months in Israel may have felt less joyous, but if you look at the mitzvot of our people, it's incredible to think about how much Israel, how much Israelis are steeped in mitzvos. I still recall the image of a secular Israeli woman singing the words of Shema on Israeli television after a hostage was rescued, and Hasidim dancing in the streets of Kiryat Gat in the south at the release of one of the female hostages. What does it mean to be Jewish? It means we revel in God and the goodness that He does for us through the mitzvot. And so this Pesach, as we gather around the table, we will proudly exclaim that we are Jewish. We're dedicated to living freely as Jews as we exalt in the mitzvot. May this Pesach bring a true redemption for you, for your family, and for the Jewish people. Thanks for being with me. I'm Rabbi Ken Brodkin, and you're listening to Torah and Today.